Hey, this is Leo for Actualize.org, and in this video, we're going to talk about healthy relationships. All right, let's talk about how to create healthy relationships. What does it really take to be in a healthy relationship? Now, I don't know how much experience you have with healthy relationships or relationships in general, but if you have any relationship experience, then you probably know that it's very easy for a relationship to go sour. Why is this? It's very fascinating to me why this happens. And at a very young age, even though I didn't have a lot of relationships, and I've actually not been in that many relationships in my life, but what I recognized is that it just made sense to me, inherently, that to have a relationship and to really have it work and to have it last for a long time, or even a reasonable amount, even a year-long relationship. I'm not even talking about longer, but just even to last a year. Something has to happen. Something has to happen, and it won't happen spontaneously. It won't happen spontaneously. Because what you're doing is you've got one person who's doing his thing, right, in life, and doing this. And then you got this other person who's doing her own thing here in life, or doing her thing. And then what you're doing, if you're creating a healthy relationship, is that you're bringing those two together. And almost think of it as a ballet, as a choreographed ballet. And you've got one dancer doing this, spinning this way. Got another dancing spinning the opposite way. You bring them close together, and you want them to perform as some sort of duo, right? Do something interesting together so that it's collaborative. It's like the greater than sum of its parts. You got to bring them together, and now they have to interact, and they have to stay in sync. And now the longer that ballet dance lasts, what do you think? The more opportunity there is for them to get out of sync, right? And to get them to even get into sync in the first place and start moving and mirroring each other in the right ways already requires that they understand each other at a certain level, they have to have a certain level of development, they have to have a certain level of training. So I think that most people, this is what I see people doing with relationships, is that they kind of take the whole issue of relationships for granted, both men and women, and they feel like, well, a relationship is just something that happens naturally. I don't need to really work at it. I don't really need to study it. It'll just happen. It'll come together. I'm a guy, she's a girl, or whatever the situation may be, and, you know, it's just going to happen. Nothing could be further from the truth. If you think that that is how you're going to build a sustainable relationship, something that's going to lead to something very long-lasting, like potentially a marriage, no way in hell. No way in hell. That's why more than half the world is divorced. Marriages don't work for this reason. It's not that they can't work inherently. It's because people don't study how to do it. They don't understand the psychology of relationships. They don't understand the psychology of attraction, of love, of sex, of masculinity and femininity. They don't understand any of that. So they go in there and they try to cobble something together and it fails. It's kind of like if I was trying to fly to the moon. Do you think if I wanted to fly to the moon, I would just go and cobble something together in my garage? Or would I spend some years learning aerospace engineering and I learning physics and learning the way the planets move and orbits and all this stuff, right? Yeah, I would have to spend some time studying it because it's a complex thing that we're proposing here. This is not something simple. And I would say it's almost easier to fly to the moon than it is to hold some of your marriages together because of the incompatibilities you have, but basically because of the lack of understanding that you guys have. All right, so let's talk about relationships. What is a healthy relationship? Let's define that. Stephen Covey, in his amazing, amazing classic, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, he classifies three types of relationship. He talks about the codependent relationship, the independent relationship, and the interdependent relationship. So let's start with the codependent relationship. This is the really unhealthy one, and this is what most relationships are. And I want you to be very careful here, because you're very gonna likely say, nope, that's not me, nope, that doesn't apply to me. No, it probably applies to you. Codependency is not just abusive relationships and relationships that involve drugs and other, you know, criminal activities. That's the worst of a codependent relationship. A codependent relationship is what most marriages are. It's what most girl-guy relationships are. So this is the key point here. is that if you have an unhealthy relationship, it's the codependent relationship type, and it's probably what you've got. What is a codependent relationship? It's when the two parties lack something in each other, and they come together because each one of them is lacking something, and they see as the other one being their other half and completing each other. You might say, well, that's how love is supposed to be. No, that's how love is portrayed in movies and in fairy tales and in other popular culture, and it's the surest way to ensure that you have an unstable relationship, a dysfunctional relationship, a very emotionally painful relationship, and a relationship that will ultimately fail. So the problem here is that each person is needy in some way, and they need the other person so badly that they come together, and as soon as that other person starts to pull away or to take something away, or they do something the other person doesn't like, then what you do is you get angry. You get angry, you get hurt, you get upset, you get fearful, you get anxious, and it creates a lot of emotional tension. Because ultimately you're looking for the other person to fulfill you, and that's an impossibility, a psychological impossibility. Nobody can fulfill you but yourself. So if you go into a relationship thinking that the other person is the solution to all your problems, what you're doing is you're actually putting a band-aid over a deeper wound, and ultimately that wound is going to start to fester, and all that pus is going to start to come out of that wound, and it's going to seep onto the other person, and it's going to taint everything. It's going to destroy everything. It's going to make you feel miserable. It's going to make the other person feel miserable. It's going to be bad for both parties. That's codependent, when the two need each other. The second type of relationship is independent. You've got one person who's doing his own thing, you've got another person who's doing her own thing, and they're totally independent. And you could bring them together, but they're doing their own things, so they're so into each other, or into themselves, I should say, rather, that they're not cooperating, and they're not choreographing. And so what happens is they just kind of like split apart, and they're too independent, they're thinking too much about themselves, they're too selfish. Independence ultimately is good, because the next step we're going to talk about is interdependence. And interdependence is actually a form of independence. It's where the two people are independent, but then they start to do a little bit of collaboration, right? But the independent relationship is nice. It's still much, much better than the codependent one. So if you have an independent relationship, still better. You can improve it, though, by moving it into an interdependent relationship. This is where you really want to be at for something long-term, like a marriage. Interdependency. This means you are independent. The other person is totally independent. You're happy by yourselves, but you do enjoy each other's company, and you appreciate certain things about each other, and you can develop a love for each other, but it's a non-needy love. It's not attachment. You're not using the other person as an emotional crutch, as a psychological crutch to fulfill you. So what you do is you make some conscious choices that this is working, and then you say, okay, we're going to start to actually like work with each other, and we're going to try to synergize, and we're going to try to improve each other. We're going to try to grow together. And this is where that ballet choreography really starts to happen, right? Really think about that metaphor. Because if you've got two ballet dancers, ideally, they're independent, right? They can both dance well together. If you've got two dancers that can't dance for shit, and you bring them together, do you think that they're going to be able to dance well together? No. You got to have two dancers that can dance well by themselves. And dancing well means living life well, being happy by yourself. When you bring them together, then you got two master dancers together. They practice together, they train together, they can come up with a routine. Now they can, with the help of a choreographer, they can, you know, make some moves, they practice, they fumble, but eventually they get something that's nice, that's seamless, that's cohesive, it's synergistic. That's interdependence, and that's ultimately what you want. That's what a really, really healthy relationship looks like. So how do you actually get there? That's the trick. Well, I think the biggest thing you gotta take away is that you gotta work on yourself. This isn't happening naturally, right? You don't get born knowing how to ballet dance. You don't get born knowing perfect choreography. That's something you have to practice diligently for many hours. You have to study the theory, you have to practice it, you have to fail a bunch of times, and then you get it right. So the same thing here. So some of the practical things I'll give you guys, some of the points you should be considering. One is that you must come from a place of abundance. That means abundance sexually. If you have no options, whether you're a girl, you have no options, or a guy and you have no options, then you are not going to have a healthy relationship because you are so concerned, you're so fearful of losing the other person because he or she is the only option and the only chance you'll have for love and happiness, that you're going to be too clingy, you're going to be too needy. And when you're so clingy and so needy, that's going to repel the other person away, and it's going to cause many, many problems. And ultimately, you're always going to be fearful, because you're always going to see that if that other person leaves, you're screwed. And that's because you haven't taken care of the scarcity problem that you have. You have to come from a place of abundance. That means make yourself attractive. Have a social circle. Be going out to bars and clubs so that if you lose the person that you're with, you can be confident that you'll find somebody new within, you know, a reasonable amount of time. This person that leaves you, that should not mean that the rest of your life is going to be a lonely, miserable hell. If it is, you got to fix that. That person is not the solution. The solution is that you fix your life so that you can attract other people. And that's something that can be done. Everyone can do that. You can, you know, tweak some variables to that. And I talk about that in other videos. Too much to talk about it here. So make sure you have abundance, sexual abundance in your life. If you're a girl, have guys that you have that could be options. If you're a guy, have girls that you have that could be options. All right, the next point is that you must be happy by yourself. So can you sit alone in a room for 30 minutes and not cry your eyes out and not be anxious and miserable and fearful and feeling lonely and desperate? Well, if you can't, then you're not happy by yourself. You have to be happy by yourself. Start constructing an awesome life. I mean, that's why I shoot these videos for you guys, is I tell you how to construct an awesome life. I help you figure out the strategies that you need, and then you have to go out there and actually do it. So spend some time working on your own life. Have a good job, have a good family situation, have good friends, have good health, have good nutrition, all the stuff that's making you happy. So do that. All right. Then the next point is that you got to work on yourself. Work on your own psychology. Not just an awesome life in here. Work on your own quirks, on your own fears, on your limiting beliefs, on your neuroses. Because here's the fundamental law of relationships, is that you will attract exactly who you are psychologically. So you're going to attract the person that's on the same psychological level as you. So that means if you have a lot of neuroses and fears and limiting beliefs and anxieties, and you're angry all the time and you're depressed, guess who you're attracting? Yep, you're going to attract a similar-minded person. Or you're going to attract a complimentary person, right? So maybe a depressive person will attract an angry person, or vice versa, or some combination like that. But either way, it's going to be a dysfunctional codependent relationship. That's not what you want. What you want to do is you want to say, okay, I want an awesome relationship. That means I need to make myself as awesome as possible so that when I find somebody else, that person will be on my level. And then we're both going to be awesome, right? It's that dancer analogy. If you want to be starring in an awesome ballet recital, you want to make yourself as awesome as possible, because when you're as awesome as possible, that means you're going to be allowed to dance with the best dancers. You don't want to be dancing with the worst dancers. You want to be dancing with the best. So work on yourself. That doesn't mean you're wrong. That doesn't mean you're unlovable. That doesn't mean that you can't be loved as you are right now. But you should be working on yourself. Improve yourself all the time. Improve yourself every day. Personal development. You should be doing personal development, especially on your inner issues. Especially stuff that's really triggering you. Stuff that's making you very emotional. You can't have a good choreography going if you're extremely emotional and you get very angry or you get very depressed or you get very fearful. Not going to happen. It's going to lead to too many instabilities. So many instabilities that you're not going to be able to choreograph. All right, the next point I'm going to make is don't spend too much time together. This is one of the problems and I think one of the indicators of a codependent relationship. A codependent relationship couple will spend all their time together because they're so needing each other. They solve each other's problems temporarily. They're both each other's psychological crutches. And so they lean on each other and they're always together every day, every night, too much. And then what happens is just simply because they're together so much, you know, you get sick of anything and you get too much of anything, even too much of the best thing, you're going to get sick of it. I guarantee you, whatever you love in life, if I gave it to you every single minute of every single day, you would get sick of it and bored of it and you would hate it. You develop resistance to it. So that's the same thing with your relationship. So you got to have other stuff that your life is about, right? If you're a man, especially, you should be out there working, having a life purpose. Your purpose should be your main thing in life. It shouldn't be your relationship. If you're a woman, even there, a case can be made that you should also have a purpose. I think you should have a purpose, but for women, their purpose is more relationship-oriented, so more family-oriented. So there's more leeway for you there. But still, you want to have stuff. You want to have friends. You want to have hobbies. Don't just be all about being with your man. That is going to lead to problems. So, you know, Don't be with each other every single day. It's too much. It's going to get nauseating. You're going to get on each other's nerves. It's not going to happen. Not going to be good. Even the people you love the most, like your parents or your siblings, if you spend a lot of time with them, you're going to be at each other's throats. It's healthy to take breaks apart. It's healthy to have vacations apart and, you know, do other stuff and not see each other for a week here, a week there, and only see each other once a week. That's healthy. In fact, that's gonna keep some spark and some excitement in your life. Because if you have a long-term relationship, I mean, you're going to get enough each other anyways. If you're going to be together for the rest of your life, or even, like, let's say just 5 or 10 years, you're going to know everything about each other. You're going to get on each other's nerves. So there's no rush to be with each other too much. Otherwise, you're gonna exhaust everything, and then it's going to end. It's going to peter out. The next thing I'm going to say is honesty and truthfulness. You can't have a healthy relationship that's built on dishonesty and lies. And what I encourage is, if you've got any skeletons in the closet about your past, stuff that's happened, stuff that you've done, things that you're ashamed of, you gotta just, like, throw it all out there. Because the real risk is not that someone's gonna discover your skeleton. The real risk is that they're gonna discover that you've been lying about your skeleton. So if you come out there right at the beginning of the relationship and you lay your skeletons out and you say, you know what, I've done some stupid things in my life that I'm not proud of, and I've got these problems in my life, I've still got some things that I'm working through, here's where I'm really at, I'm not gonna be fake with you, here's where I'm really at, and you are honest about that, you disclose it, then you've got a foundation that something can be built on. Now, there is a real risk that the person might see those skeletons and say, well, I don't like that, and then run away. And that, you know, that's a risk that you run, and then the relationship splits apart because you guys were not meant to be together. But if what you tried to do is you tried to lie about yourself and project some sort of fake image, make yourself out better than you are, what's going to happen is that, yes, you might actually preserve the relationship in the short run, but in the long run, it's going to cause so much tension and distrust that you're going to ruin any possible chance of success, and you're probably going to create a lot of turmoil, distrust between each other, animosity, just like resentment. It's not going to be pretty. And in the end, all those skeletons are going to come out. You're not going to be able to hold your skeletons back. I don't care. Maybe it'll take a year, maybe two, but eventually everything is going to come out. It's all going to be seen. You're not going to be able to hide it. You're not that good. You're not that clever. The other person will see it. So ask yourself, do you really want to lie so that you can keep it together for just a little bit? Or do you want to be really honest and have a chance to set up something? And I find that in a relationship, you know, you have to develop that sense of ability to be both to trust the other person and to be honest yourself. And that's tough because a lot of times it's very easy to not tell the truth, because a lot of times you tell the truth, there's emotional problems, you have to deal with a situation. It's easier just to tell a white little lie, kind of gloss it over, and then it never comes up, and then you say to yourself, well, I'll just deal with it if it ever comes up in the future. The problem is that if that does happen and it does come up, the other person's going to know that you didn't tell them and that you weren't honest. That's going to break trust, and that's going to rot the foundation of everything you guys have. So for me personally, when I want to create a good relationship, I work on myself because I say that I need to be strong enough as a man to be honest, even when it hurts to be honest. I need to be strong enough to be honest even when I don't want to. Even when it risks the whole relationship, I still have to be honest, because to me, the honesty is the most important part. So I try to never lie in a relationship, because I know that if I do, then I pretty much I have to say to myself, okay, I'm lying in this relationship, but that pretty much means that this relationship has no real long-term potential. I can lie right now, but if I do, like, who am I kidding? It's not going to work. So if I really value a relationship, I'll really push myself to be honest, even when it's really, really hard. And I've done that. And yeah, it's hard. I mean, that's why people don't have successful relationships, because they do the easy stuff, and the easy stuff doesn't work. And then the last point I'm going to make is a relationship should be about giving and not receiving. Don't go into a relationship trying to receive. And this is another sign of codependency. In a codependent relationship, you want the other person, you want something from them. You want love, you want companionship, you want sex, you want, like, you need stuff. Really, a nice interdependent relationship is you getting pleasure from giving. You like to give, you know, you like to do nice things for the other person. You like to make them happy. You are there to share your knowledge, your gift, your sex, your sexuality, like, whatever. You're there to share all that. Share your love. Give to the other person. Don't be about receiving. You will receive naturally as you give. And it'll fuel the relationship. It'll create a lot of trust. And it'll create something really awesome and synergistic if you do that. All right, so those are my tips for how to create healthy relationships. Go ahead, post me your comments down below. I'm very curious about what you guys think about this and how your relationships have fit into this mold. Please also like this and share this. Spread this around. We want more healthy relationships in the world. I think that will make a lot of more people happy. And I'd like you to go and check out actualize.org. Sign up to our newsletter there. You get awesome videos every week for free that tell you how to develop yourself. Because when you develop yourself, you're going to set yourself up for healthy relationships. And if you don't, then you're going to have codependent, dysfunctional relationships. So very pertinent to what I'm talking about here. Sign up there. You get some awesome free bonuses for signing up. An exclusive 19-part video series to my subscribers for free, just for signing up. And you can get a chance to win 2 hours of free coaching that I give away every month to one of my subscribers.